This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0, independent community media. I'm Bruce Scott, Mel Driscoll, Dwayne Porter and Trevor Loy between now and 2 o'clock along with our normal guest in Gary Schofield. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column Common, History. The main event, July 19, 2026, New Zealand Hit Parade, History and Song, July 19, 1964. Weather, top of the hour. World politics with Gary Schofield, shipping movements with Dwayne Porter and Trevor Loy before we go at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Sunday again. About 4 months, we'll be asked to vote for the new government of New Zealand. Leading up to the New Zealand election, it's heading towards some interesting sights as some old MPs, they change parties. I noticed Tuara Katani has fled Labour and joined New Zealand First. Paul Henry, who has stood for National before, is now standing for ACT Party, and we'll see how many more defections. But with Paul Henry, his actions over the last few years have been decisive. He's best remembered for two black marks on New Zealand politics and journalism. First of all, questioning the authenticity of our New Zealand Governor General. Then he had a crack at an Indian diplomat. Remember that event? It was on live on television. That drew comments from around the world. To me, and many others, it was pure racism. Why is Paul Henry, multi-millionaire, wanting to stand for Parliament? What has he got to give to New Zealand? Well, in, of course, England, we've got Nigel Farage. We're getting a new British Prime Minister. In America, we've got Donald Trump. We've got a mixture of left-wing, right-wing, far-right and far-right-wing politicians. And, of course, we've got a lot of comment online. And I've noticed that racism is growing in New Zealand. I saw the comment on one of my fellow hosts here at Free FM yesterday. He's Filipino, and I get along well with members of the Filipino community here in New Zealand. Luckily, the station told this man off. The man who wrote the comment on my colleague, he blocked his Facebook page, but I did leave a message. I fully support my Free FM colleagues here, whether they're Filipino, African or Maori. We're all one, brother. 16-1, 200, yes, day 200, 165 to go, July 19, 2026. 2025 this day, the All Blacks defeat France at FMG Stadium in Hamilton.
Don't mess around with the men in black. And the boys, they want the car back. Yep, bursting with pride with
1746 this day, Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie, and his followers retreat from Derby.
Like a bird on the wing, on with the sailor's cry. Carry the lad that's born to be king. The sea to sky, loud the winds howl.
1970 this day, former New Zealand Prime Minister and, sorry, former Air New Zealand CEO, sorry about that, and current New Zealand Prime Minister Christopher Luxon was born this day. He's 55.
While the wheel is turning, 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 I'll be here for you.
this day in 1970, Scottish politician, former First Minister and SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon was born. Today she's 55.
She ain't got no fun, her clothes are kind of funny.
This day in 1545, the Mary Rose, the flagship of Henry VIII, sinks in the Solent, costing 700 lives. In 1896, Scottish writer A.J. Cronin, The Citadel and Dr. Finlay. He was born, he died in 1981. This day in 1947, Sir Brian May of Queen was born. Today he's 78. And of course, Queen best known for this number one hit from 1975.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Anyway the wind blows,
doesn't really matter.
of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Figaro, Magnifico. Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go! Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go! Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, rock and roll classic, that one. Celebrating the 78th birthday today of Sir Brian May, academic and one of the driving forces behind Queen with the late Freddie Mercury. Yeah, gotta think, what would happen if Freddie Mercury was still alive today? What would he be doing? Yeah, sad story. You gotta read the story of Freddie Mercury, don't you? And Bohemian Rhapsody. And if we have time, we'll play another Queen song, or we can fill it in this afternoon. Well, the New Zealand Hit Parade, childorg.nz, history and song. It's July 19th, it's Sunday, 1XH, 1964, 7 a.m, The Breakfast Show. 8 o'clock, listen to the bands with Eric Holton. 8:45 through 11:30 a.m, Children's Corner, Church Music, Grandstand with Clyde Baxter, Ray Harris, Highway of Jazz. At noon, listeners' requests. At 5 p.m. through 8 o'clock, for our senior citizens, for the children, there's 1XH Presents. The Goon Show was in 1964 on 1XH. 8:30, Sunday Showcase, relayed from 2ZB in Wellington, and closed down was at midnight. He'd been in New Zealand and Hamilton the year before. This was the number one song in New Zealand this day in 1964. That doesn't sound like what we're meant to be playing. So we move it along. And this was, take two, the number one song in New Zealand this day in 1964.
This is Lewis, darling. It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You looking swell, darling. I can tell Dolly. You're still growing, you're still growing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying while the band's playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas, find an empty lap, fellas.
FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. That is Louis Armstrong. No, sorry, it is not. I'm Louis Armstrong before with Hello Dolly. That is, of course, the orchestra Les Reed Strings, the theme from Dr. Finlay's casebook. It's the birthday today of A.J. Cronin, who, of course, wrote some of the scripts for Dr. Finlay. He wasn't pleased with some of the scripts if you look back at some of the stories about it. Oh, I'm getting mixed up today. We'll Try better. That was one of my school reports many years ago. It's 1 o'clock, looking at the Hamilton weather, partly cloudy. We're in for, partly cloudy. We're in for a few showers dying out this evening. Monday, mostly cloudy, a few showers clearing in the evening, light winds, southeasterlies developing at night. Sunset this evening at 5:23 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 7:28. We've got 16-degree high in the city and an overnight low of 5. At the moment, we have got about 16 degrees in the present city. Well, I did muck up the history lesson at 1 o'clock when I told you about the birthday today of the former Air New Zealand CEO and current New Zealand Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon. He is 55 today. And 55 years ago, this was a very big hit. It's 1 minute past one at Free FM 89.0.
Love. could sing you a tune and promise you the moon. But if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon.
FM 89.0, and that is Rose Garden, and that of course is Lynn Anderson, 1970. We of course had Edison Lighthouse, Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes. Well, 1971, New Zealand, we had the final episode of one of the great westerns of all times, along sort of stood alongside Bonanza and Gunsmoke, starred Leif Erikson, a Henry Darrow, and Cameron Mitchell, Mark Slade. Yeah, of course, the High Chaparral. We were watching all those westerns. It's 8 minutes past 1 o'clock at Free FM 89.0. Let's move up to 1973. FM 89.0, yes. Dancing on a Saturday night out of Britain came Barry Blue. We're looking at the year through the decades. We've moved up to 1974, and this was a disco group called Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, and they teamed up with the established group called themselves the Three Degrees, who had big hits on their own. And, of course, they were favourites of the then Prince Charles. This is the Sound of Philadelphia. It's quarter past one as we're looking through the decades. That was 1974. Mother, Father, Sister, Brother, the Three Degrees, and Sound of Philadelphia. A year later, New Zealand saw, and the world saw, a young comedian called Freddie Prinze. And the series was called Chico and the Man. And, of course, it starred Jack Albertson as the old guy. He was the man, Chico. Sadly, Freddie Prinze committed suicide at the height of his... at the height of his fame, but it left behind a theme.
One, two.
This is Jose Feliciano. This is the theme from Chico and the Man.
Try now, I know that they will, for Chico has a man. Yes, they will, for Chico has a man.
Yeah, Chico and the Man, remembering the late Freddie Prinze. Actually, his son is married to the woman from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the lead actor, and of course they appeared together in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies too. How's that for information? 16 past 1 at Free FM 89.0, 1975. As disco was at its height, the late Esther Phillips. This song had to be done in the 50s.
What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. From the sun and the flowers. Where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm a part of you, dear. What a difference a day makes. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven with you. Find romance on your menu. What a difference a day makes. And the difference is you.
make a big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing,
We will rock you.
Blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it!
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
All right.
That is We Will Rock You. That is Queen as we celebrate Brian May's birthday today. He's 78 today. Well, this series coined the phrase. Yes, it was said, of course, many times by the one and only John Travolta. Something about a rubber hose and a nose, etc. I think you know what I'm saying. And the theme song too, Welcome Back, Cotter. John B. Sebastian. Yeah, up your nose with a rubber hose. That's what John Travolta said on the show.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back. We always could spot a friend. Welcome back. And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
There's something that made me come back again. And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.
Yeah, we tease him a lot.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Sebastian. That is the series that made John Travolta a star. Welcome back, Cotter. It's 26 past one. Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. Tony and Greta Verhoeven and Nicky Knowles ensure that the travellers who come their way, who want an adventure of the travelling kind, experience the best that they have to offer. And it's thanks to our environment. And we notice that sometime in your past, Greta, you took up tramping.
Oh, yes. I love tramping. I love the outdoors.
Your husband, Tony, he was in the digger business. Now,
yes, he did. He had his own business with a 2.5 ton digger and a little truck. And so he did that from 2003 until 2012.
Now, at some stage, you end up in a place that they dig a lot, a place in Australia.
Mount Isa.
What was the attraction there? Perhaps Tony likes to tell that story.
My son was working in the mines at Mount Isa Mines, and he got us a job underground. So we was working under a mile underground in tunnels. So, yeah, I was working there for 3.5 years.
A good place to shelter from the weather outside. What was the climate?
Oh, very hot. You would have thought the further you go down, the colder it would get, but it wasn't actually. It was the further you went down, the hotter it got. And we're working in 50 degrees a lot of the times.
Well, that's something that became a bit much. And Greta, your thoughts turned to New Zealand.
Yes, Tony and I decided that we couldn't cope with another summer. So we decided in end of October that we would head back to New Zealand. And we travelled over to our daughter in Switzerland for 2 months, and then we did some tripping around in the South Island for a couple of months before we resided back into our home at Pickering Road. So we had a rural aspect, and that allowed us to start a B&B, but we also bought bikes, and I kept doing the tramping, but that's how the business event started back in 2016.
Well, a lot's happened since you made that decision. One of them would be to look at the assets that New Zealand offers and try to work out how you could enhance the experience of people who come here. And how do you do that?
Well, basically, we have very short distances that we can travel, and we see an awful lot, from mountains to lakes to glowworm caves to the beautiful Rotorua Lake. So we were kind of in the middle, and a lot of international travellers, they just were really keen to see what New Zealand offered. And we had Hobbiton down the road and things like that. But it wasn't until COVID hit and the international travellers stopped, and New Zealanders, especially those that have retired, basically didn't want to travel overseas anymore. And so they were keen to see New Zealand. So I adapted to their needs, yes.
Yeah, everybody like me knows where Pickering Road is at Tamahere, but it's a bit of a lifestyle block out there. And I know your name because I went to school with some of the members of your family at Cambridge High. So I know your family well. So it's kind of a reunion here at 3FM this afternoon. So Pickering Road, so what have you got out there to give to your members of the public?
Basically, I do day trips, I do away trips, and I've also connected with Nicky Knowles, and she does the overseas side, and I connect with her, and we bring together international travel.
Nicky, How did you get involved in this pursuit?
With Greta, she approached me and she decided that her lovely ladies and men that she does travel with, they wanted to go further afield. They've been doing things with Greta throughout New Zealand and so forth, but the decision was made and the ideas flowed, and Greta is a teacher pleaser, does what her clients want to do. And so we embarked on a few different projects where we were able to organise for people to go overseas with her. Our first one was to Vietnam.
Not the place that you would have expected years before to end up travelling in.
No, not at all. So at the end of the day, my role really is to support Greta in her ambitions and her group. And we try and tick all the boxes and make sure we get all the interesting things in there. And I do all the logistics for the international.
Well, what a country Vietnam has become post the Vietnam War, of course. It's post-communist country now, and it's a kind of favourite destination for many people.
Yeah, I think in the last 10 years it's taken on a different, it's completely different than what we imagined. So dare I say it, everyone in this room is of a certain age and remember the likes, I'll say MASH and all you know, the Vietnam War from the 70s and so on. And it was all cruel and terrible and, oh, my goodness, what's happened? But I think post, I'll say 2015 onwards, that generation has moved and we've now got younger people coming through and they're more interested in different things. It's not just about the war. It's about the culture, the history.
Yep.
The different history. Everyone's been there.
Hanoi is the capital of the whole country now because it's no longer divided. It's one whole country.
Yes.
So Hanoi is the capital.
Yeah, yeah. And so the north has an interesting vibe to it and the south is very different. And again, it's a mishmash of so many different things. The Chinese have been there, the French have been there, the British, everyone has had a go. And this is what we have today, is just this real mixture of all sorts of different things, which is just fabulous.
So the organisation that you do that relates to overseas, how many might you be planning for? Making arrangements?
Obviously, I take care of Greta's groups and what she needs to do, but of course, I work independently of that. So this year, I've got 150 files open for this year. So, yeah, it's busy.
So where are you going on your bucket list of countries?
This year, myself, I'm going to Japan, which I'm superb. Oh, I just can't wait. Going to be awesome. That's on my list. My list is very long and very varied. And also I've noticed that over the years places I'm revisiting because, of course, I'm not 20 anymore and I see things differently. And I'm finding that really interesting. Last year I went to Italy after a long hiatus and went back and went, oh, my Lord, it's so different than I remembered because I'm not 20 anymore. So it's, never say never. Just keep doing what you're doing.
And being away the years as you were, a country changes.
Correct, correct. And so do I.
So what trends do you see that we in New Zealand should be addressing that would make travel and getting around Aotearoa a better experience than it already is?
I think the one thing about New Zealand is that we're small, we're compact, we have everything.
Yeah.
Everything on offer, and actually there is something to be said that it's only a few hours to literally get everywhere, which most places in the world, we don't have the scale or the size, but we're a little bit petite.
Yeah.
And it's so good, and that's what our overseas visitors love, and it's something that we should appreciate as local citizens as well.
Taking overseas visitors in their own backyard, do you take them up to the Mangatauturi Bird Sanctuary to go up there, that area?
Well, that would be for Greta.
Yeah. Yes, I have. I have been there, and Otrahonga to the Kiwi House, and Spellbound, we have natural glowworm caves, so they're all wonderful. Wonderful and very local for day trips.
With your business, you find that naturally you need to please your clients, and are sometimes their expectations difficult to translate into the actual travel when they are set to go?
No, I usually have a destination. So I'll say to them that we're going to, say, Manukau Heads Lighthouse. And then I usually have a route and then come back a different way. And then I'll often put in little things that I can find along the way. So you don't tell them everything that's going to happen on the day trip, and then you just add a little bit of extra. And everybody seems to be most happy at the end of the day. And a day out, they haven't had to drive. So when you can sit back and just enjoy the scenery, it's wonderful.
Have you got a website that people can find online, your business online, to make bookings, etc.?
Yes, I do. I have a website. It's called Bike Hike Stay. And no, we're not travelling around on bikes, and we don't walk from place to place, but we get out and about. And so it's called bikehikestay.co.nz. And under the tour area, you will see a drop-down box, and that gives you all my day trips and my away trips. And we have Vivid. We went to Vivid twice this year, and we went to China. Next year we're planning a trip to Cairns and Port Douglas, and I'm going to repeat Vivid again. It was magnificent.
Are there some countries you try to avoid at the moment, like Myanmar and all that, because they're in the middle of coups, etc., etc.? Do you avoid those countries?
Of course. The New Zealand government does have a website, safetravel.co.nz. We do adhere to their rules as a generally, and places like Myanmar, obviously North Korea, are on the list and so on. The Middle East has been on the list, but has currently been removed. So we're good to go through the Middle East. Well, as I say, it's ever evolving, dare I say it. But on the whole, my passengers that I've had travel through that part of the world this year have flown without incident.
So you don't want to go near the Strait of Hormuz at the moment?
No, not necessarily, but Emirates are still flying out of Auckland, which is really, really good. And yeah, it's very much been a personal decision for most of my travellers, and we talk through their situation, and as it's always unique.
Are the expectations sometimes, you know, things go wrong?
Of course they do.
And end up being even the more interesting because of what had to be done to remedy it.
Totally, yes.
Like voyages that might be cancelled?
Correct. River cruising in Europe at the moment, low water, that's an issue currently. But again, a lot of the suppliers, it's not their first rodeo.
Yeah. Is travel insurance necessary?
Unnecessary.
Is necessary.
Oh, yes, totally. Absolutely. Always recommend insurance.
Well, you've certainly brought Pickering Road into the limelight with your being based there. Is there any signs of changes in the nature of the business? And
No. We moved from Pickering Road, and we live in Cambridge now, in Norfolk Drive. So we're in town, and basically we don't run a B&B, and we just enjoy the day travels and overseas or around New Zealand. Enjoy the South Island in the summer, which is really wonderful.
Cambridge and Hamilton are getting so close together that maybe Cambridge and Hamilton will one day be one big city. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I don't think so. I'd like to see Cambridge stay as Cambridge, to be quite honest.
Good on you guys.
We've expanded over the around further out from the Greenbelt, and I really, it's a shame that they've done that, but progress is progress.
I did read the other day that the Waikato Racing Club may be coming out and building out at Tamariri. I don't know what the thoughts of the residents are, but maybe that's for another day. So thank you for coming in. And we were talking about Japanese earlier. I found a Japanese song, actually. It was popular back in the 60s called Sukiyaki. FM 89.0 independent community media Sukiyaki, number one around the world for Kaiyu Sakamoto. Time for our unusual look at world politics. Gary Schofield.
When an American president sounds a warning on specific security threats, he's expecting it to be taken seriously. So, where's the evidence of Mr. Trump's claim of votes rigging of the presidential election and of alleged foreign meddling with American software to gain intelligence? When no proof follows, the public becomes skeptical. But if the warnings later prove right, will the West be caught off guard? Our commentator Gary Schofield wonders.
Very good questioning. And in fact, it would seem that nobody really has doubted that China has acquired this information, and specifically 230 million Americans' data, their addresses, where they live, other information, their phone numbers, perhaps even social security numbers, but importantly, who they vote for. So this information is available to the public, but you've got to jump through a lot of hoops to get that, and I can't think of a benign reason why China would acquire all this data about the elections. And people have dismissed it. Most journalists have dismissed this as being Trump saying that, well, you know, maybe he's going to rig the next election. But when you think of, when you try and think it through, yes, having that data gives you an insight as a country, a foreign country, into the prediction of an election, from which, if you're clever, you'll be able to use a targeted strategy, knowing which areas could be changed or altered during an election. And yes, indeed, it could be used to influence an election. But at the moment, we've moved on. This has come from the files of the CIA. It's come from the intelligence service files themselves and been released by Ratcliffe, I think it was. So we can pretty much assume that this is true. And is there a history of it? Well, in fact, the Senate Judiciary Committee has estimated that intellectual property theft from China cost the American economy between $400 billion and $600 billion annually. So, in fact, of course, China denies all these charges. I'll just make sure that's on the record. So the other important issue in this are the intelligence services themselves. The other enormous claim that Trump has made is that this information has been withheld from him as president. So, and it's been removed from briefings. And this is an extraordinary charge, which, if true, should be very concerning.
Yeah.
Because, and a lot of people say, well, you know, it's just because they can't trust Trump because he's got such a big mouth and he'll say the wrong thing. But, you know, you have to be careful if you're an organization that is working for the good of the country and for the president to pick and choose which information you conceal from the president and which you don't. So these are all very hot button issues that people seem to have moved on from, but I would just like to explain them in a different way.
Yep.
So that's what I did with that.
Hey, Gary, who won the 2020 election?
Well, yeah, let's not refight this one. Like I say, I'm keeping an impartial view of everything, and all I can say is point out, and by the way, there's been some other developments too that Trump has cited, such as Venezuela. So now with the influence in Venezuela and the United States having at least a tacit control of the country, it's been determined that the government, or Maduro, has been able to find a way to tamper with the voting machine. So Trump is also saying that perhaps that happened in the United States as well. Anyway, not to refight that battle, but it is important to understand what China is doing. China is the big player in the world. Mm. And I also, at this point, would like to bring up the Uyghurs. If you've heard of the Uyghurs.
Yeah, they were a group of their own. Weren't they put down by the bigger country, were they?
Yes, China.
Yeah.
So they are an ethnic group. They're important. And the reason that I brought this up is because people have been asking me. They say, well, look, if China wants to take Taiwan, what better day to take it than today? You know, you've got Trump's tied up in the Middle East. A huge amount of the Navy has gone from Asia to the Middle East. If ever there was an opportunity, why not now? And seeing they haven't taken it, why not? So people have asked me that, and that's why I brought up the Uyghurs. So the Belt and Road, you're familiar with that.
Yep.
Very important trade that China has developed throughout the world. And the northwest of China, where the Uyghurs are, is very susceptible, should there be a conflict with the United States, that the United States could arm the Uyghurs as a revolutionary group, and that would be and cut off all trade, well, the Belt and Road through that region to China. So I believe that that might have something to do with the attempted, well, again, China denies all this, but they say the oppression of the Uyghurs is important. And, of course, they recently changed the law to prevent their language, some of their cultural, you know. So everything is kind of tied together in this geopolitical web.
Anyway, we've got to talk about this because with Mitch McConnell, AWOL, at the moment, nobody knows where he is. We're seeing AI pictures of him in hospital and various, some say he's dead, brain dead. And, of course, we lost Lindsey Graham to death.
Two very important characters, a very important agenda-bearing, very powerful members, and their influence does change the future. Correct.
Yeah, of course, that also changes the majority that the Republicans have in the House. And in the Senate, because it's very wafer thin at the moment. So, and Mitch McConnell can't vote because he's not in the House at the moment, and I don't know if he's returning. And it's going to be interesting who. And of course, one of his relations, some wife went in to take.
It was his wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, hey, is that in law in America that the wife comes in? It seems.
Oh, actually, you might be thinking of Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
And I think it might be his sister that has now come in. Yes, this is very grey. You know, the idea of nepotism, the idea of we don't have an inherited democracy, things like that. It does bring up all those issues. I also wondered if you had or subscribed to the conspiracy that Lindsey Graham might have died unexpected, because they did say, you know, he had a short illness. Well, you know, your heart exploding is not really considered a short illness, and why that would happen. He just come back from Ukraine. He seemed to be fine, but people are talking about that.
Yep.
He's a very important person, and very, you know, he's reviled by some. Let me be clear on both sides.
Of course, the other rumors, of course, that he was gay. So we don't know. It's his own private life. What he does in his private life, or what he did do in his private life, has nothing to do with us. So
yes, but what is to do with us are his policies, and of course, getting involved in Iran is a bit of a legacy there too.
Yep.
He was very, very pro most of those wars.
Anyway, Sue, that is it for today. Thank you, Sue.
Pleasure.
How's Stuart?
Oh, he's doing wonderfully well. And also, I would just like to say yes tonight, and thank you for allowing me to talk about the event tonight that I'm performing. It's a full house, so we've got everybody there for this great charity.
Anyway, have fun tonight.
Will do.
Get home safely. We'll talk to you about the event at Southern School next week.
Yes, indeed. Look forward to that.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. There we are. Gary. Gary Schofield of Free FM 89.0. Good afternoon, Dwayne Porter.
Good afternoon, Cripps.
What's coming into the port of Tauranga, Dwayne?
Well, there's three or four boats arriving in the port of Tauranga. It's pretty well quiet at the moment.
A bit of a lull.
Yeah.
So they're not parking out, berthing out in the, anchoring out in.
Well, there's about 28, 29 sitting out there waiting to come in. So, you know, it's decided for the old port to decide to slow down a bit. But I can tell you what the crushing cars in there at the moment, it's going to be amazing of how many boats are sitting out there waiting to get a load to come in because Donald Trump has closed the borderline again.
That's another thing. Yeah, you talk about parking. Have they got two hours free parking in the Tauranga Harbour like they got in Hamilton?
You know, you got to realise is that for parking. You know, for parking the 2 hours in Hamilton, it's got to be done. You know, you look at, like, in Tauranga. Tauranga's going to do the same. Tauranga's going to have a two-hour parking, you know. Everyone's got to have a two-hour parking. You know, you look at these councils. Even the council don't even do their job right looking at the roadside where the car's parking on the curb, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, I've thought to myself, well, I'm going to fix them. I'm going to dig a hole, put a post in the ground, concrete it, and hopefully they damage their cars.
Anyway, and of course the police were out near Cameron Road this morning, and I met the police at my place the other morning too. So
well, were you causing a bit of trouble, were you, Bruce?
No, not me. They were looking for somebody that used to live with me. Hey, thank you. Anyway, Trevor Lloyd is next at Free FM 89.0.
If you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never
once in a while.
That classic series that was set on a radio station, WKRP in Cincinnati. It is 3 minutes to two. Good afternoon, Trevor Lloyd.
Good afternoon. What did television and the news and that, natural disasters such as tornadoes in particular, that ruin whole neighbourhoods, even small towns, cities to a degree, with their velocity of the high-powered wind. And suburbs in the poorer areas, absolutely flattened. So is it the way they design buildings and houses in tornado-prone cities and towns that causes us destruction? Perhaps they could build houses with a slant angle or a curvature where the wind would probably go over the top and not head on with a straight wall. So what do scientists have thought of that?
Well, we certainly see plenty of examples played out overseas with the effects of climate changing. And it takes a toll on structures that people need to live in, to work in.
Yes. It's not an easy solution. But if architecturally designed building or particular house that is not square in shape, therefore it just gets flattened by the strong winds, some kind of angled or curvature for the wind to go around the structure then head on.
Have you ever been in a tornado, Trevor?
No, I haven't. I saw one nearly forming in Auckland once, crossing Harbour Bridge, but it never really quite made the grade.
The one that did was in 1947, wasn't it, in Frankton?
48.
48 it was. And people died.
That's right. It violated Frankton as it was back then.
And they found a house down the street too.
And they found a check made out to one of the commercial banks that had been deposited in Frankton and was found on a golf course out Cambridge way.
That's amazing.
A couple of days later.
Anyway, Trevor, thanks for your day today and to all our guests, and we'll leave you there. It's 1 minute to two. We'll leave you with the Creedence Clearwater Revival. You never know what's out your back door. Of course, with John Fogarty, still going great at age 80 plus, looking out my back door. Stand by for Harmony Waikato.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.